Well, while they're moving out their way, I want to just ask you to turn with me to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 30. Let's talk a few minutes tonight about the anointing. The anointing of the Spirit. Exodus 30 and verse 22. This is the recipe that's given for the holy anointing oil. And it's very specific, detailed. Let's read here in Exodus 30 and verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of the oil, olive, and hin. Thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound from the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, the ark of the testimony, the table, and all of his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Now the anointing oil that was prescribed here to Moses, it was prescribed by God. God is the one who defined it. God is the one that created it. The exact measure of it, the exact mixture of it, was set by God. It was not man-made. I think there's several lessons that we can learn about the anointing of the Spirit of God. We covet His presence. We covet the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, our ministries, our church. We long for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's difficult for us to really clearly define what it is. We just know that God has sent His blessing and His anointing. And we sense that. We recognize that. As spiritual people, we sense God is here. God is speaking. God is working. God is blessing. And His anointing is resting upon the service, or upon our lives, or upon our ministry. And the first thing that you'll notice here is that it is not man-made. It's not something that can be conjured up by man. We can't sing loud enough. We can't sing fast enough. We can't sing the right songs. There's not really anything that we can do as far as our own ability to put it all together and make it happen. It is not man-made. It is of God. And it was prescribed by God. It was a mixture, a recipe. It was specific as to how it was put together. So is it true that these men, even though men put it together, it says after the order of the apothecary, these were men who were trained in putting together mixtures and certain spices and certain medicines they put together, and they were trained as to how to do it, how to follow a prescribed means for it to be put together. But it really wasn't man-made. It was just God used men to put together the mixtures according to his plan. And so it was God's plan. It was God's recipe. It was not man-made. Neither will the anointing of his Holy Spirit be something that man can come up with or conjure up. It is only something that God gifts us with and blesses us with and pours out upon us and provides for us. It is a wonderful provision of the Lord. The anointing is a provision of God for us that gives to us spiritual strength and power and blessing and ability that we could never, ever in our own power be able to accomplish it. Amen. The anointing is not man-made. The anointing was to be a part of the temple, the tabernacle worship. It was to be that all the pieces of the furniture, even the tent of the tabernacle, everything was to be after this holy anointing oil was put together, and by God's prescription, then it was to be that the tent was to be anointed, the furniture, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the laver, the vessels, and the furniture, everything that had to do with worshiping God was to be anointed. Even those that were Aaron and his sons, those that were going to be ministering before the Lord, they were to be anointed with this oil, signifying that God's with them, that God's presence was with them, that God's presence was empowering them and directing them to do the work of the ministry. And so we know that the anointing is not man-made, but we do know that it is to be very much a part of our worshiping God. Amen. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It is the anointing of the Spirit of God that causes our common songs, our common worship, our common, you know, spiritual exercises and activities to become something supernatural, something mighty, something powerful, something anointed and blessed. You know what I'm talking about when I say that was an anointed testimony, or that was an anointed song, or that was an anointed message, or that was an anointed prayer. We've been around the house of God long enough to identify it, to recognize it for what it is. And it's not, it's more than emotion. It's more than just something that is man-made, but it is recognizing the visitation and the hand of the Lord upon what's going on in that place. I have to tell you, I love it whenever God divinely interrupts our program. Amen. Sometimes we have it down, you know, pretty much what's going to happen. Next is the songs. Next is the prayer. Next is the offering. Next is the preaching. Next is the altar service. We pretty well know. But I love it. I love it whenever the Spirit of God begins to speak and to work and to move in a service, and He interrupts our planned order.
Or he takes our order that's already planned and he sanctions it and blesses it and anoints it and puts his hand upon it. Amen. It's not man-made, but it's a part of our worship. It says that everything that it touches is holy and is sanctified. Something wonderful about an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our lives that sets us apart, that changes the atmosphere and makes it not a common place, not a common experience, but we sense the presence of God. There's an awe to what we're experiencing. There's this wonderful presence of the Lord, because by his anointing, he's sanctified the house. He has sanctified our activities, our service, and it becomes something holy and special in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. It's sanctified. It is not common. Notice it says that it wasn't to be poured on any man's flesh. Wasn't to be just a common thing, but a holy thing, a special thing. And it's not to be anything else like it. There was not to be any substitute made. Don't make anything similar to it, but follow exactly the prescribed measure that God had given to them to put together this holy anointing oil. And the warning was, don't substitute it. Don't make something else similar to it or almost like it. But instead, recognize that it's not a common thing. It's a blessed thing. It's a heavenly thing. It is from God that God would bless and he would anoint. It says not to put it upon a stranger. And it's describing someone that is not a believer or someone that would like to use it maybe for personal gain. Remember Simon in the book of Acts chapter 8. And he saw the gift of the Holy Ghost being poured out and the laying on of the hands of the apostles and the Holy Ghost being given. And he just thought, well, you know, this is a wonderful thing. I can turn this into a money-making machine. I can make money with this. And he said, give me this same power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of the Lord. And so the warning here was that it was not to be used or not to be abused. It was not to be poured out upon the stranger, the person who might misuse it or abuse it. It was to be something special that God blesses and anoints. And oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing whenever you sense the presence of God in your ministry, in your life, upon you. Oh, it's a wonderful thing whenever the anointing of the Spirit of God is there and it comes. Remember that it's prescribed by God. It has to be God's way, not man's way. Exactly the measurement that God gave. First of all, there was to be a certain amount of myrrh. Myrrh, I learned, was an extract from a tree, and it flowed freely. Many times, for something to come out of a tree, it would have to be pierced or cut for it to flow out. But the wonderful thing about myrrh is that it flowed freely. You just come upon a myrrh bush or tree, and it would just be oozing out of it. And they would catch the myrrh. It flowed freely. Glory to God. That is a wonderful picture of the Holy Ghost anointing that flows freely. God works and moves however He wants to move and whenever He wants to move. That it is a free working of the Holy Spirit. The second item in this recipe was sweet cinnamon. It was very rare. As a matter of fact, it was only obtained by commerce. They had to buy it because it came from a distance. It came from afar. It was not common. It was valuable. It came from afar at a great price and a great expense. Could I just remind you here tonight that the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes at great expense. It comes from afar. It comes to you and to me. We're not deserving of it. We're not worthy of it. But it comes to us. It is not common to us. It's not common to our lives or to our work or to our church or our ministry. But it's something precious and special that comes to us from the Lord. Amen. And then the third item was sweet calamus. Sweet calamus was known for its aroma. It was a sweet smelling aroma, a sweet smelling savor. Do you know that all through the scripture, the work of Christ, the work of the gospel, is described as a sweet smelling savor? Praise God. And it's evidence of God at work in your life. And the anointing of the Spirit of God is a reminder of all that Jesus came to do and all that He has given to us. And it's a sweet smelling savor that everyone recognizes it. They recognize this is God. This is the presence of God. This is the anointing of the Spirit of God. The sweet calamus was this sweet smelling savor. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. All that Jesus did, His laying down His life, His going to the cross, His suffering, and all that He did, He laid down His life, and now that's all, that gift of salvation is a sweet smelling savor. And whenever He anoints your life and He anoints our services and we sense the presence of God, it's a reminder of the gift of God, the blessing of God, what God has done for you and what He's done for me. It's a reminder to us of God's goodness to us. Philippians 4 and 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Not only is it a reminder of the gift of God, but it's a reminder of the fact that God puts His hand upon people to serve and to minister to you. And when they do, it also becomes like a sweet smelling savor whenever someone pours out their love and their goodness and their mercy to you. Praise God. A sweet smelling savor. One night, I don't remember which night, different ones have brought food to our house. And we just thank you so much for that. It's been so kind. But one night, when the little Atkins family prepared a meal for us, the boys were the delivery boys. And they come, and you could tell because the way they knocked on the door, it was very enthusiastic. They were very excited about being there. And the door opened, and they come in, and they've got these huge smiles on their faces. They know they're doing something good. They know they're doing something important. And they're smiling. And they just stand there. And I don't know if they wanted us to eat it while they stood there and watched us or what it was. They just kept standing there. And we kept saying, "Oh, this looks so good. Oh, thank you for bringing this. And you're such handsome delivery boys." And we had appreciated so very much. And do you understand what I'm saying when I say when you do something in the name of the Lord, that it's like a sweet smelling savor? It's a ministry. It's a serving. That's what Epaphroditus was doing as he served and as he gave. It was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. And whenever the Lord blesses your life, or he blesses our service, or meets with us in the altar, and you sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon this place, and it's a reminder to us of the goodness of God, what he has given to us, and how he has used the people of God and the family of God to bless us and to pour out to us. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 2 in verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." What's it saying? What's it describing? It's describing the fact that God puts his anointing upon you. And the family of God, the people of God recognize it. And it's even recognized out there in the world. They recognize the sweet smelling savor of the gift of God that's pouring out of you as you bless and you share. The anointing is something that we enjoy in worship. We enjoy in the house of God. We enjoy it in the presence of the Lord in this place. But it's not confined to this building. The anointing of the Holy Spirit rests upon us. It even goes forward. And even those that are without, those that are perishing, those that are lost can sense there's something from God. There's something real in that person's life. And it's a sweet smelling savor. Glory to God. And so we have myrrh and sweet cinnamon, and we have calamus. And then there's cassius, which was very similar, as I understand, to the cinnamon. The only difference was it grew very low to the ground. And the symbolic message of the cassius was that it was very low, and it spoke of humility. It's very possible for people, when they enjoy the anointing and the presence of God upon their life, to kind of begin to feel like that, you know, I must be pretty important if God blesses me and he anoints me. But the reality is that it's a humbling experience whenever you sense the presence of God at work in your life. And there has to be this cassius also that's mixed in there that reminds us of our own lowliness and our own unworthiness and our own need for God. We must have the presence of God, and without him we're nothing. And then the last ingredient, it was mixed with the olive oil. The olive oil was to be pure, beaten olive oil, oil that was combustible, oil that could potentially even light up the lamps. And it was all mixed together into this perfect mixture by those that were trained apothecary to put it together. And then that holy anointing oil anointed the tent. It anointed the furniture. It anointed the priest. It anointed everyone, and the whole place was filled with the odor and the blessing of that wonderful anointing. Praise God. Been around Pentecost all my life. And, I've been in some wonderful, wonderful services. I've had some wonderful experiences in the presence of God. I know many of you have as well. Wonderful times in the presence of God. Sensed His voice, sensed Him speaking, sensed Him working supernaturally, the lives of people around the altars. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. And it's like this wonderful, sweet-smelling savor that just fills the house. And you sense the help of God, the presence of God. And oh, how we should covet that. Pray for that. Ask God, Lord, we don't want to come together and go through a routine of church. We want You to be there. We want You to anoint every word and every song and every testimony and every prayer and every effort that we put forth, Lord, that it would be sanctioned by Your presence and Your Spirit and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One of the verses that we quote often, and there are many, I encourage you to run references on the anointing or the holy anointing oil. There are many of them. But in Isaiah 10 and 27, it says, "And it shall come to pass that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Praise God. Now, when you read, there are so many places, dozens of verses that talk about the yoke of the Babylonians upon God's people. And there's places where it talks about the yoke of the Assyrians, or the different enemies that brought the children of Israel under captivity, and they were under the yoke, under the control. They were being dominated by this enemy of the people of God. And I love this verse because it reminds us of the fact that the anointing of the Spirit of God sets people free from that yoke. It destroys the yoke. Destroys the yoke. And we talk about this a lot, but there are people with all kinds of bondages, all kinds of things that the enemy is using against their life, and they're so bound, and it seems so impossible for them to be set free from these things that have them beaten down. But the Scripture says, this yoke from off of thy neck, this yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our lives, in our services, saturating this place, a real visitation of His divine Spirit and power. When people come in here and they're so bound and they're so under the control, they're so dominated by the enemy of their soul, they can get help in this kind of an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost is at work, where there's an anointing that's resting upon this place. They can get help. They can get set free from the things that have their minds bound, or have their hearts bound. Their lives are bound, and they can't get set free from all the entanglement of sin and the world. But it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That destroys the yoke. So we seek the Lord, and we should certainly pray. Continually pray, Lord, anoint us. Lord, with this God-prescribed anointing. I don't want something that's man-made. I'm not interested in something that's just, has just some emotional element to it. I'm not interested in anything that is in any way conjured up by man. But oh, when God comes and visits this place with His anointing, then there are answers. There is hope. There is deliverance. Yokes can be destroyed, and people can find help in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, visit us. Visit us, Lord, with a holy anointing. Visit us, Lord, from the preacher to the Sunday school teacher to the bus workers, to the moms and the dads and the grandmas and the grandpas, and every one of us, whatever your calling, whatever your ministry is, whatever your task is before you, you need an anointing. You need an anointing of the Holy Spirit resting upon you. I've learned long, long ago, I can sermonize. I can take pretty much any passage of Scripture and spend enough time with it to come up with 3 or 4 points. It's true. You do it for any length of time, and you can pretty well set aside and outline a chapter in the Bible and sermonize. And that's well and good. But I learned long ago that's not what is needed. People don't need to hear another 3 or 4 point sermon. They need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from God. We need something from God. We need a visitation from heaven. And it has to be exactly prescribed by God, just like this holy anointing oil is prescribed by God. This sweet smelling savor, it can fill this place. And even the person that's the furthest from God will recognize God's in that place. God's in that place. God is moving in that place. God is speaking in that place. Oh, it is the holy anointing. It will make all of the difference. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. You need the anointing if you're going to witness to your loved ones, to your family, if you're going to be effective reaching out to those that God has called you to minister to. You need an anointing of the Spirit of God resting upon your life. Ask God to anoint you. Ask Him to anoint you, to put His hand upon you. And I pray that prayer so often. Lord, what I need is Your presence. What I need, Lord, is Your hand. I need Your anointing, Lord. Your blessing, Lord. We all do. Oh, we all do. Oh, we all do. Hallelujah. Is that your prayer here tonight? Amen.